Well, let's lift our hands to the Most High God and bless His holy name. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration, bless His holy name. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He has done for you. Thank Him for what He will yet do. Give Him all glory, all honor, all adoration. Bless His holy name. Bless the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Bless the Ancient of Days. Bless the unchangeable changer. Worship Him. Adore Him. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be magnified. There's no one like Him. Worship Him. Worship the Ancient of Days. Magnify His holy name today. Praise Him again and again and again. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, every evil report concerning me, change it right now. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Every evil report against me, change it right now, Father. Every evil report from doctors, from evil prophets, from enemies known and unknown, from forces of darkness, every evil report against me, change it right now. Father, change it right now. Oh, yes, Lord. Every evil report against me, change it right now, right now, right now, right now. Any report that says I will die, change it, Lord. Every report that says I will die barren, change it, Lord. Every report that says I will die poor, change it, Lord. Every report that says I will never succeed, change it, Lord. Every report that says I won't reach my goal, change it, Lord. Every evil report against me, every evil report against my family, every evil report against my children, every report that is evil against my success in life, oh Lord God Almighty, change it now. Every evil report against me, against my family, against my nation, against the Church of God, Father, change it right now. Change it right now. Change it right now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised. Excellent God. Marvelous God, wonder-working God, the unchangeable changer, glory be to your holy name. Thank you for January, thank you for February, thank you for March, thank you for April, and now thank you for May. Glory be to your holy name. Father, we know you are on your throne. And when you are in control of anything, that thing cannot get out of control. Oh, we know that our tomorrow will be all right. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, every evil report against any of your children, those who are here, those who are listening to us all over the world, every evil report we cancel right now. Any report that says your children will die, we tear it away. Every report that says your children will not be fruitful, we destroy it right now. Every report that says your children will die poor, we destroy it right now. Father, replace every evil report with your own report. Bless your children. Lay your mighty hands on them. And please, Daddy, all your children who have been faithful in the payment of their tithes, in the giving of their offerings, this month, embarrass them with your blessings. That the world may know that you are still on your throne. Father, embarrass them with your blessings. Let it be well with them. Answer all their prayers. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. And let somebody shout hallelujah. You shake hands with one or two people, prophesy to them and say, your tomorrow will be all right. And then you may please be seated. Colossians 1, verse 27. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many of you believe that it doesn't matter what the enemy may say, your tomorrow will be all right? If you believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. There are reasons why I am confident that there is hope for you. Reason number one, you are still alive. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 4 says, Anyone who is connected to the living has hope. He says a living dog is better than a dead lion. If the lion is dead, he's dead. If the dog is still alive, it's better than a dead lion. Reason number two. God created you for a purpose. And you know what? The purpose is to give God pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. God created you for his pleasure, not for his sorrow, not for his embarrassment, not for his disappointment, for his pleasure. God has no pleasure in the death of sinners, even sinners. He has no pleasure in the death of sinners. So how can he have pleasure in the death of his own children? He has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is to give him pleasure. And his purpose for your life will be fulfilled. Yes. That's reason number three why I'm sure there is hope for you. His purpose for your life will be fulfilled regardless of what the enemy may say, regardless of circumstances. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 10 to 11, Psalm 33, verse 10 to 11, he said, all the devices of human beings he brings to naught, but his own counsel shall stand. So all those who have been telling you there's no hope for you, ignore them. Because they are not your God. If the doctor says there's no hope for you, be very polite. He's talking within his limited knowledge. He's not your maker. God has a purpose for your life. That purpose will be fulfilled. And number four, God has power to do anything. In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, Jeremiah 32, verse 27, he said, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? He has the ability to reverse the irreversible. Ezekiel 37, from verse 1 to 10. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10, tells us that he even raised dry bones. Bones that were not just dry, but very dry. God has a purpose for your life. That purpose will be fulfilled. Yeah. He has the power to bring it to pass. So I want you to, with all confidence, tell your neighbor, my tomorrow will be all right. It doesn't matter what the enemy may say. It doesn't matter what your relative, your friends might have concluded. They are not your God. So for the barren, for those of you who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, and it looks as if there is no hope, consider Sarah. In Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, when God said Sarah will have a child at the age of 90, she laughed. Listen to the question God asked her. Is anything too hard for me? That was the question. In other words, God says, when I say you have a child at the age of 90, and you are laughing, who do you think is talking? Your husband? Is anything too hard for me? You say, oh, but my womb has been dead for more than 40 years. Is anything too hard for me? That's the question. If you are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, I want you to say loud and clear, my womb will not be too hard for God. I mean, one of the stories that I've told you before was that of a woman in a church in Canada. They told her she had no womb. She had no fallopian tubes. So, humanly speaking, there's no way she could have a child. So we went for one of our conventions. We finished, and some people were going to my chair saying they go there to tap anointing. She ignored them, went to the chair of my wife, knelt there, and said to God, they say, I have no womb, no problem. The woman who sat here doesn't need a womb anymore. Give me a womb. They said, I have no fallopian tubes. The woman who sat here does not need a womb anymore. Give them to me. When she was giving her testimony, she had given birth to 2 children. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
Let me hear your answer.
No.
For the one who is hopelessly sick, that the doctor said, there's no hope for you. You are too far gone. Remember John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. John 9, verse 1 to 7. Tells us the story of a man who was born without eyes. He didn't just have eye problem. He had no eyes. He was born blind. When the Almighty God met him, when his day came, God said, I brought this fellow into the world so I can demonstrate my glory in his life. That same day, the glory of God was revealed. It wasn't a case of he was sick. It was a case of it's an impossibility, humanly speaking. He didn't have bad eyesight. He was born without sight. My father demonstrated that there's nothing too hard for him. He regained his sight. In Abeokuta, I was an old man who was quite old, fell sick, and the doctor said, well, Papa cannot last 3 days, so he should put his house in order. So he sent for his pastor. Before I die, I want to take just one more Holy Communion. You know, they call it last rites. Papa took Holy Communion, and the pastor traveled. Pastor came back 3 days later, expecting to hear that Papa was gone. This more than 20 years ago, Papa is still alive. I decree to somebody here today, those who say you will die, you will attend their funeral. To anybody who says there's no hope for you, is the fellow God?
No.
Is he your creator?
No.
Does he know tomorrow?
No.
For those who might be hopelessly bound, that your situation is as a result of demonic forces, Many of them consider Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 15. Mark 5, verse 1 to 15. It tells you the story. Each time you read the story, pay attention to the details. This man wasn't just mad, he wasn't just crazy of the little type. He had a legion of demons. Not one, not two, not 1,000. A legion. According to Bible scholars, I'll be talking about some 6,000 demons in one man. If there's any man who could say this case is hopeless, his case was. Even himself has written himself off. Never thought he would become anything useful again. But see, when we are talking about man, that's different from when we are talking about God. His name is the Almighty. Almighty means somebody whose might is not limited. There are mighty men in the world, but they are limited by age. They are limited by sleep. They are limited by death. They are limited by resources. My God is unlimited. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't travel. He never dies. Everything he needs, he can create. One word from the Lord of hosts, and all the demons scattered. The fellow who everybody had written of ended up being an evangelist. That is God. So even if it looks as if, mentally speaking, there's no hope for you, even if spiritually speaking it looks as if you're already far gone, hey, remember there is still an unlimited God. You see, on his throne, he has never lost his power, and that power is still available today. Years ago, I was preaching in one church in America. A woman came, and that night I spoke about the power of God to do the impossible. She came to me and said, "Sir, I want you to pray. Pray for my husband." So, what's the problem with your husband? Where is he? Can you bring him to church tomorrow? So he said, "Ha ha. My husband doesn't leave home. He's not just mad. He's raving mad. He mustn't come out at all. The doctors have examined him and they said his brain has been fried, like you fry an egg. Fried by excessive use of drugs." I said, "He can't come to church." She said, "Yeah, in that case, let me come and pray for him." He said, "Ah, you want to die? And if he sees you, and you're a black man, coming into his house, he will shoot you even before talking." I said, "That's my risk. Let's go." We got to the place. The man said, "Who is that?" And from the roar, you know it's not the one talking. "But I know the God who sent me. He never fails. He never forsakes his own. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. That is his promise." I told him, "I'm a pastor from Africa. What do you want in my house?" I said, "I've come to pray for you." To cut a long story short, that man became a driver in our church. Because that day I told my God, "What this man needs is a brand new brain. The original brain has been fried. No argument. give him a brand new one. That day he got a brand new brain. If anybody says you are already too far gone, tell him, you don't know my God. Let me conclude. Because this program, you know, is being transmitted all over our churches, and I have to keep to time. You see, when the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory, that alone is enough to tell you there is hope for you. And the hope is glory, not shame, not defeat, not failure, not premature death, not barrenness. Hope of glory. Once again, tell your neighbor, my future will be glorious. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. The only fellow who is hopeless is the one who hasn't got Christ. Because if Christ is not in you, then you have no hope. The only hope you can have will be hell. I've told you before, you are not born again. Your future is going to be terrible. I'm not the one who said so. It is written, say ye to the wicked, he shall be ill with them. You are not a child of God. Your future cannot be bright. Why? The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. If God is angry with you, how can you hope for glory? But if Christ is in you, he says, say ye to the righteous, he shall be well with him. So if you are here and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, stop cheating yourself. Come now. Come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let Christ come into you. Let Christ come and dwell in you. And everything will change. It will tear the reports of the doctor. It will tear the reports of anybody saying anything contrary to your future. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, come now. And I'm going to count from 1 to 5, after which I will pray. Counting now. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Those of you who are clapping, your tomorrow will be glorious. Four. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Those of you on the way, keep coming. Those of you in front, talk to the Almighty God. Please save my soul. Come and dwell in me. And then I know my tomorrow will be all right. Forgive all my sins, Lord, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Go ahead, talk to God. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them. That the one who saved our souls will save their own souls also. Pray for them for about 2 minutes. And those of you who are still on the way, hurry up. This is your day of salvation. Come and invite Jesus into your life. Come and invite him to dwell in you. God bless you. Keep coming. Anyone still on the way? Just make sure you get there before I finish praying. Call on him and say, Lord, save my soul. Come and dwell in me. You are the hope of the hopeless. Come and dwell in me. And I will serve you all the days of my life. I will serve you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I want to thank you for your word. I want to give you all glory and honor for this, your people that have come forward today. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them, Lord. Save their souls. Let your blood wash away their sins. Write their names in the book of life. And from now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire. And let them serve you to the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Those of you who have come forward, congratulations. I want to promise you from now on, I'll be praying for you. So I will want to know your names, your address, and your prayer request. They will give you a card to fill. You fill it very quickly. But before you go to where counselors will attend to you, I want you to join us as we pray. The rest of you, are you ready to pray? Get up and shout a big hallelujah. Lift up your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, let my future be glorious. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Let my future be glorious. Very, very glorious. In every area of my life, let my future be glorious, Lord.